Good morning. Good morning. I'm glad y'all are able to come out and be with us today. We have several visitors with us this day. You're our honored guests. Glad you're able to come out. We also have several members that are traveling to be with families during the holiday period. So we want to remember them in our prayers and ask for safe travel for them. As we bring our minds in from the many things that are going on in our lives and in our world, so we might dedicate this time appropriately to the Lord, it's been requested that we do. I thought maybe we'd look at some scriptures in Romans chapter 12. And I'll be reading from the King James Version. Again, we're very appreciative that you're able to be with us today, either physically or those who are watching online. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're hoping during this time of worship this morning that you'll have the opportunity to renew your mind for the Lord's service. Let's enter into worship.
Good morning, everyone. If convenient, please stand and join me in singing our first hymn, Joy to the World. Our next hymn is going to be hymn number 997. 997.
Thank you.
Before we go to the Lord in prayer, we'll be singing hymn number 1025, 1025.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this beautiful day that we have, and especially, Heavenly Father, the opportunity that we're able to assemble ourselves here together and worship thee. We thank you for the health that you provided us that are here, but we pray, Heavenly Father, to be with those that would like to be in our midst but are unable to due to their health. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you be with them and be with those that are caring for them. And we pray, Heavenly Father, if it's your will that things can be done to give them the health that they're able to be with us once again. Heavenly Father, be with those that are having struggles at this time. We pray that, Heavenly Father, things can be said or done that will give them comfort and get them through this difficult situation and care for them and comfort them. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the church here and for the many outreaches that it has, and pray that you'll bless all those outreaches and that many souls and lives can be touched and that they will come to learn the truth about you and your son and your plan of salvation. Be with us, Heavenly Father, as we continue to worship thee and sing praises to thee, that we do all these things in accordance with thy will. Be with us, Heavenly Father, and be with those that are traveling this time of year, and be with them and give them safety and bring them back to their homes, wherever that may be. We pray, Heavenly Father, you be with us the remainder of the service, that all things that are said and done this service are according with thy will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Before we have the scripture reading, and then Dennis brings us the lesson he's prepared, we'll be singing hymn number 382. 382.
Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Galatians 4, verses 4 through 5. Galatians 4, verses 4 through 5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons.
Good morning. Good to see each of you here. I haven't seen so much red in the audience since last Valentine's Day, I don't think, but it's good to have each of you here. Those of you who are visiting know Tim Hall has not changed a whole lot. He is with his family in Nashville, so we're filling in for him this morning. And I want us to look at the question that the song that we just sang posed. Why did my Savior come to earth? Why did Jesus come? Why was it necessary for him to come? Did all that happened to him while he was here have to take place for us to have forgiveness of sin? Why did he come in the way he did? Much of the world, at least the Christian world, are thinking about Christ. Very comfortable with a baby. Innocent, weak, needing of others to care for them. Why did God in the flesh have to come that way? What all did Christ do while he was here? There are a myriad of things that we can talk about as a result of that question. What did he do? Why did he come here? We need to remember that after his birth, we have one glimpse of him at about age 12, we think, when he was there in the temple. That's about the time and age that most Jewish boys went through bar mitzvah. Was it recorded because of that? We don't know. But for about 30 years of his life here on earth, he lived what we called a normal human life in many ways. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it simply says, about that time, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He grew up as any young Jewish boy would at that time in the first century in an out-of-the-way village that people didn't think about. In fact, you remember in the Gospel of John, Nicodemus says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? This little place, this insignificant point on the map, but that's where he grew up. From Matthew chapter 6, it's interesting, it said about Christ when he began his public ministry, is this not the carpenter? Not the carpenter's son, is this not the carpenter? The son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? He had a big family around him. Four brothers, or half-brothers, as we know, and sisters. Are they not all here? Two or three sisters that he had? It was a very normal life, except in one way. As he did this, he was without sin. But he is God in the flesh, and he can relate to us. One of the favorite phrases that Christ had in referring to himself is Son of Man. In Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 13, it says, and when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do men say that the Son of Man is? Not that the Messiah, not that the Son of God, but who the Son of Man is. And he's talking about himself. And they said to him, some say John the Baptist, because he had already been beheaded at that time. Some say Elijah. Others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then he would turn, as we'll get into a little later, and say, who do you say that I am? And that's when Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But he said, I am not a God that's distant and far from you. I am a God that knows what it's like to be born into a physical body, to grow up, to work with my hands. I am God in the flesh. So he could relate to us. So why did Jesus come to earth? Well, one way is so that he could be God, unlike all these other gods that man had created, all these false gods of stone and wood that are distant somewhere far off, but a God who could relate to us. He felt all the things that we felt. As we read through the Gospels, we find out that he was tempted just as we were. He was hungry, so he knows what it's like to be hungry. Except more than us, he had the divine power and he knew it to do something about it. He could simply take, as Satan tempted him to say, stone and turn it into bread. You ever been hungry and you could smell bread cooking, rolls in the oven? We may have some of that tomorrow. And you put butter on it and how good it tastes. He had the power to do that. But that would have been going along with the devil, not with his mission. He wanted to tempt God as a temptation. Throw yourself off the pinnacle of the temple. God will send his angels. Tempting God in a way that we might say, God, if you do this, then I'll be a Christian. If you do this, then I'll be better. If you'll do this for me, then I will worship you regularly. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. He could have all the wealth that Satan had on this earth. How many people can we look back in history that we call maniacal despots that wanted to conquer the world that fell short? Yet he had the power to do it. Everything physical, nothing spiritual. So he was tempted as we were and more. But the difference is, as Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. He knew what it was like to live in a human body, to feel the frustration, the tiredness, the dread, the sorrow that we do. You ask just about any of our regular youth and come to Bible schools and our classes, what's the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. But in those two words, it said so much. He felt the sorrow that those around the tomb of Lazarus were feeling. So he came to earth so that he could always tell man, I can relate to you. I know what it's like for you to live in your body. And yet, to set a goal for us, of doing our best, because he did not sin. He came to earth then to be an example for us of how we should live our lives and how we should teach others. When Luke wrote his second book, beginning in Acts chapter 1, he says this, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. How he began to what? To do and to teach. He sets an example for us to teach. Yes, to verbally teach people, if we can. We're all different. We have different talents that we have, but those who can teach are to teach. But the most powerful lesson is to teach by our actions, what we do. We can say all the right words, and then if we act differently when we're not saying those words, when we're one way, even teaching classes or preaching on Sunday morning, and then on Monday morning when we go to work, we act differently, that wipes out everything that may have been said for good for the people who've seen us on both of those days. So it says he came not only to teach, to tell us what we need to do, but also what we need to be doing in we living our daily lives. He lived a life, grew up, followed his father's trade as a carpenter, and the people who knew him in the daily life didn't know he was the Messiah. They just knew he was a good, honest person who was kind and loving to people. So he came to set an example for us of how we should teach others with every opportunity we can with our words, but also to teach more powerfully with our actions. That's what he did. He also came to be the basis for our Christian faith. A much abused passage is Matthew 16, verses 17 and 18. Here it says, after we just read earlier, if you remember, where Simon Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Well, he says to him then, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, Petros. But upon this cross, Petra, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." You are Peter, a pebble. You've made a good confession, but you're just a pebble. But on this rock, this bedrock of what you have said, "I am the Son of God," then I will build my church. Not some elected pope's church, not some man who had an idea, a method of worshiping that he wanted people to follow, not some archbishop somewhere, not some council, but Christ's church. So he came to establish the church. He laid the foundation. You ever seen these commercials on TV about people saying, you know, "Let us work with your foundation"? And if somebody comes trying to say you something, and if they've ever crawled under your house, if you're normal, you'll sit there going, "Oh no, what are they going to find? Is there going to be a problem? How much is it going to cost me? Do I really want all things basemently to crawl under my house and say it's falling apart?" Why? Because without the right foundation, sooner or later, that house is going to fall. That's all there is to it. So Christ came to establish his church, and he must be the foundation for the church. Anything else is built on man. And in a way, when we look at the parable and the song that kids sang, "The wise man built his house upon the rock," the rock for the church is Jesus. And he came to establish his church. But there's one else, one other thing that he could do. Moses, the people had been living under the law of Moses for 1,200 years when Christ came. We call it the law of Moses. It's the law of God given to Moses. But people referred to it, and we do today, as the law of Moses. But it was built on a man. A man who could say, "Here's what God wants you to do to have forgiveness of your sins this year, and next year, and next year, and the following year." And still, if we look at our calendar, sometime in the fall, because the Jewish calendar rotates differently from ours, we'll find the words Yom Kippur, or Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. That day when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies to offer sacrifices for the sins of the people that would need to be repeated the next year and the next year and the next year. Because ultimately, as we're told, the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4. And that is key to why Christ had to come. And the unique thing about God being on earth and living a perfect life that was not just a sacrifice for the sins, but the atonement, the once and for all for sins. If you were a priest and you went to a flock of sheep and you looked through them and say, here are 10 sheep without blemish. Now, which one of you sheep, raise a foot if you want to be sacrificed? That didn't happen. The sheep didn't know what was going on. They're just walking along, having a good day, and all of a sudden they're a sacrifice. There was no choice in that. They were the people, the priest, were doing what God through Moses had said to be done, but those animals didn't make the choice. Animals work off of instinct. Oh, there's some that we can train. You know, you can train a dog, a cat can train you, however you want to put it. But yeah, they don't choose. But Christ chose. Not because of anything that he had done, unlike the two people who were crucified beside him, but in the fulfillment of prophecy to pay the price, ultimate price for our sins, then he chose to be sacrificed and was, of all the people who may have been put to death, who may have suffered while in a physical body on this earth, the one that did not deserve any of it. But he chose to do that so that our sin, the sin that all of us have, could be paid, not by an animal, but by man. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 said, just therefore, as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, so death has spread to all men because all have sinned. Did sin enter the world through an animal? No. It was through man. So God says, in my wisdom, I say that the atonement for sin has to be with a man without spot and blemish. But guess what? We have all sinned. Isaiah 53:6 said, we like all sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of all of us. All that sin, all the sin that had been committed since Adam up to the time of Jesus, and all the sin that will be committed as long as the world stands, was laid on Christ on the cross. Why? Because he chose to leave heaven and come to earth. A place that we can't even understand. John tried to give us a glimpse of it, but it has to be in figurative language because it's beyond our comprehension. It's like trying to explain to a 2-year-old or to a 74-year-old how a computer works. It's beyond comprehension. And he left that to be the sacrifice for our sins. And he just didn't come as a physical person for a few days in some kind of spirit thing that felt nothing and die for our sins. He came and grew up in a simple village, faced all the heartache and problems that we feel in a human life, tempted in every way and beyond that we were, to be the perfect atonement for our sins. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, it says, "For our sake," not his, "for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, it says, "Knowing that you were ransomed from your futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like a lamb without blemish or spot." Christ came for so much, for so many reasons. So we can look to him as the example for how we should conduct our lives. We will not do it as well as he has done it, but to have a goal that's there for us. He came to establish his church, and our job is to look at the Bible, look at the lessons that are taught in the Bible, the history of the church that's taught in the Bible, and try to the best of our human ability to build on that foundation the way he wants it built. But ultimately, he did what no other being on earth who's ever been on earth could do. He paid the sacrifice for our sins. He died for me. He died for you. And without that, without him coming, without him living the way he lived, without him dying the way he died, and then to be resurrected, then all else that we would have is futile. That's the way Peter described it. It's futile in the ways that we have. So why did he come to earth? Ultimately and uniquely, to pay the price for our sins. The next question comes is what will we do with that? Will we respond to him? Will we respond to the love that he showed for us to die in an unjust, painful, agonizing way for our sins? Will we respond to that with the simple steps of obedience, to believe, because we have to believe, to repent, to say, "What have I done?" Not what mankind has done, but what have I done that this had to happen this way? To confess, "I'm wrong, and I need Jesus." Why? Because he is God in the flesh when he was here on earth. And then I'm going to be baptized. Why? Because he said so. He died for us. He has the right to say, "Here is what you do to be a part of my church." And then we spend the rest of our lives trying to do our best for him. If you are in need to come and make those first steps or to come back to Christ, now is the time that you have. You can't do anything about yesterday. you can't do it tomorrow yet. You only have to hope and pray there will be a tomorrow. But right now, you can take Christ's own and be in his body, his church, as we stand and sing.
Seated. Before we partake of the Lord's Supper, we'll be singing hymn number 337. 337.
Oh, Hallelujah, what a Savior. We just sang Full Atonement. Dennis preached. Jesus came, he is God in the flesh, one without sin, the only one. And he came and he provided full atonement. In the book of Luke, it teaches the establishment of the Lord's Supper, and it's referenced in the Gospels. But in Luke 22, Passover, Jesus had, as he says, earnestly desired to eat this meal. And it says in verse 19 that he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you," that full atonement. "This body is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We are so awed by you. Lord, we are so grateful for the grace and the mercy, the forgiveness. Lord, we can't fathom the price that was paid for each of us. And Lord, we are grateful though. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we are so blessed by you. And we thank you for this bread, this body of Christ that was given for us. And Father, we thank you and we take this in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 20, Christ continues. And it says, "Likewise, he also took up the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you.'" Let us pray. Father, again, we come before you. Lord, we thank you so much. We are awed. And we cannot conceive of the power of Christ's blood, but we are oh so grateful for it. Lord, we thank you for this blood that cleanses every spot, that atones for our sin. Lord, we thank you that Christ came and lived as we have, that he walked the earth, that he taught, that he provided examples. And Lord, we are so grateful. We can't conceive of the price that was paid, Lord, but we are so grateful. Thank you for this blood of Christ that cleanses our sin. And Lord, we take this in Christ's name. Amen. at this time we'll also give thanks. It's also a time of giving. The elders of the church have made many ways available. The baskets at the end, online, mailing a check. That's the easy part. The hard part is deciding, but you only decide once. Christ gave his life for us. And so much of what we have to be grateful for is because of that decision. So as we give back, know that the work that you support is Christ's work. It is the work of the church. It is the work of the church that Christ established here, locally, as well as throughout the world. Let's pray. Lord, again, we come before you thankful. Lord, we are indebted to you beyond anything that we can give. But Lord, we know that you gave, and it is good for us to give. And Lord, we thank you. And we ask that as we give, that it is blessed, that it is used to spread your word, to support people doing your work. Lord, we thank you so much. You give us so many things. And we ask that you take this and make it grand. And Lord, in all things, let us glorify Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Before we enter into our prayer for the closing of the service and any announcements, I wanted to mention to you to please remember Raymond Barton. This is Pat's brother, and he's currently in Holston Valley, and he's facing both heart and kidney problems. Also, Dylan, who's the 5-year-old niece of Sage and Daniel Norris, is battling meningitis today in California. Please pray for this child, for the parents and the family, and for those that are attending to this need, and that the antibiotics being administered will be effective. We've also have several prayers requests as a result of our prison ministry from the Unicoi County Detention Center. Scott, who has missed his uncle, he's having health issues. Kim, who's part of the program there, their family's dealing with the loss of a 3-year-old. And Peggy, Mike, Camille, and LaTanya, these are Leah's family. They're all facing issues at this time, and John made me aware of this before the services today. Let's enter into prayer. Our Father and our God, we're thankful to you for giving the opportunity to come again together in your name, to search out and seek your word, follow the pattern of worship, dear God, unimpeded by government, and to do those things, dear God, that you have asked us to do. We pray, dear God, that this service has been conducted in a manner that's pleasing to you. We ask for blessings, dear God, on everyone represented, every family represented here this morning. We ask for the blessings of health. We also pray, dear God, that if there's one among us this morning who's considering their internal destination, if they are considering their status of their souls, dear God, they may have been touched by something that's been said, something they saw or something that was heard today. We do pray, dear God, that they would make that good decision before it's everlasting too late. We pray, dear God, that positive influences would come their way and that they would obey the gospel, dear God, and enjoy the blessings of salvation that begin now upon belief and upon fellowship through baptism. We pray, dear God, for Dylan, his child who's suffering in California. We pray, dear God, that you would be with the care providers, comfort the family during this time. We're also mindful in prayer for Pat's brother. We know that he's facing issues in Holston Valley. We pray that those ministering to him and those ministering to all these, including those that have been mentioned from over in Irwin, that the care providers would bring about plans that would bring about healing in an effective manner, that good recoveries would be realized, and that these families would be blessed during this holiday period with the return of their loved ones in good health. We know, dear God, that some have faced loved ones, have lost loved ones, and they'll be facing this holiday period, dear God, with that void. We pray for them during this time. Pray that you would bless them, dear God, with the knowledge of the after while. Comfort them, dear God, as only you can. Help us to be of service to those in need as we have opportunity. This prayer we offer unto you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Please pick up your communion cups. Throw them away as you leave the auditorium. There'll be no worship assembly this evening due to so many people that will be traveling. A New Year's Eve get-together will take place in the downstairs fellowship hall after evening worship services next Sunday, December 31st. Please bring finger foods and your favorite game. Please contact the Frenches for additional details. The pantry item for the week is dish detergent, and we appreciate those who are working so diligently to support our pantry. Also, we will have a church security workshop January the 6th, and the purpose of that is to begin at 8:30, scheduled to begin at 8:30 in the morning, and it will run to somewhere around noon. This is going to be targeting those individuals primarily who have volunteered to serve in a security capacity, this congregation, but it's open to anyone. So I think someone may be able to gain some takeaways from a good security effort, and that's the effort that we're going to put forth, hopefully, in the direction we're going to be traveling. Again, January 6th at 8:30 in the morning in this room is going to be our church security workshop. Please remember Carrie Van Teen, who is scheduled to undergo another PET scan on December 28th. This is being done 12 weeks after his immunotherapy treatments that occurred in October. Keith Johnson is in ICU with a blood clot in his lung. The situation is dire. Marie Johnson grew up with his wife, and they have stayed in touch over the years, and she's requesting prayers. Also, Kenny Perkins, who he fell last night. This is JK's father. He had stitches, and he has been allowed to go back home. And JK asked that we remember him and their family in your prayers. Pray for the blessings of safe travel as you leave this place. You're dismissed.